Y'all, my name is John Elmore. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism, fear of man, and worldly distractions instead of pursuing Christ. Hey, good to be with y'all tonight. So good to see each of you. We live in a broken and fallen world. There's some news that I've read about ISIS, where when they have gone into a city, whether in Iran or Syria, what they'll do is they'll take captive the civilians, and they'll hold them, using them as human shields. Any deserters from ISIS, they will kill. Any civilians trying to escape from a city, they will capture and kill, torture them, because as an enemy, they want to retain that power over them, and any influence they're losing or ability to control them, they will do their best to do away with. It's evil. And it's a picture of what Satan does throughout the world. Not just as we see in ISIS and in the Middle East, but here, even among us, that we saw recently in Sutherland Springs at First Baptist Church just yesterday, is we see evil very close to home. If you guys don't know, there was a church shooting yesterday in which 26 people were killed. A man walked into a church with a rifle and killed 26, including the pastor's daughter, anywhere from a 17-month-old child all the way up to 77 years old, and in between, a pregnant mom, multiple family members. And when we see that, we wonder, like, man, where is God? Where is he in this moment? And why isn't he intervening? And we see it with a natural disaster as well. And in Luke 13, you see that Jesus addresses this. He talks about moral evil and natural evil. And in both of those cases, he says the answer is for us to look inward and that we would repent, turn to follow Christ in every area of our life, because God has created us with free will, which is why he doesn't intervene entirely. Because if you want to say, on a mass scale, with a mass shooting, why didn't God intervene? Then the same has to be asked of us in the evil that we commit, that others would say, well, why didn't you intervene when John hurt me? But then in love, he gave us free will so that we could in turn love him freely. But in that risk that God took in giving us free will, evil also enters the world. And so we have to deal with our own evil, and sadly, we have to deal with the evil like they did down in Sutherland Springs with this latest shooting. And yet when those happen, it's a reminder. It's a reminder that we are in a war, and it's different than the Middle East in a military sense, but we are in a war much greater than that one, and I want to read it because it's relevant for us to remember. Because I just said last night, like, or I said this week, I'm struggling with distraction. Like last night, the last couple of nights, I've been watching this movie, some stupid movie. And I'm in a war, and I'm watching a movie. Not that movies are bad, but like, it says in Revelation 12, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. It goes on to say about Satan, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them day and night before God has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And then it goes on to say, he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. And so Satan went off to make war against the rest of the church, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And so y'all, just as a reminder, we're in a war in which evil is attempting to take out anyone who is a deserter from Satan or trying to escape the clutches of Satan. Satan wants to take us out. But it says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all sin so that we are forgiven and free and no longer held captive to Satan and to sin. We've been set free. And it says also that we have overcome Satan by the word of our testimony. And so when the accusation and the arrows and the condemnation and the shame and the affliction and the persecution and the hardship and even the shootings come, that we would say we hold to the word of our testimony, that we say, no, Satan, I claim Jesus Christ, my Lord. I don't answer to you or to your whims anymore, but I serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get behind me. And in that we have victory, even in the face of hardship, even in the face of death. It says that nothing will separate us from the love of the Father, neither famine nor nakedness nor sword. Nothing will separate you from God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the good news of the gospel, that we are free. And the other good news is that the war is won. Like, we know the end of the story, that in Revelation 21, it says that God has made his dwelling with men, and the very first act that he does among us is that he wipes away every tear. It says there is no more pain, sorrow, or suffering. We will live forever with him where there is no evil. The end of the war is coming. And so hold fast, brothers and sisters. And if you don't know him, repent, trust Jesus, take shelter under him, because you have a good Savior who loves you, died for you, and rose from the dead so that you never have to fear ever again. Amen. And one last word. If you're ever in a situation where something like that was to take place, I'm asking all the men to charge. Don't run, we charge. You run into the chaos. And that's not a chauvinistic statement. Frankly, women, if you got a CHL, put it to use. But I'm asking all the men to charge, no matter where you are, because God has ordained that we bring order to chaos, and ladies as well. But we want to make sure that we stand as leaders and servant leaders and go first. So that's public service announcement, no matter where you are, because we live in a day and age where evil tries and attempts. So it's worth talking about.